You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bills had the better year. That's amazing.
Happy Hour is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. There was a full moon last night, Tony. Do you have any unusual dreams?
Tony Kornheiser, I had a nightmare that all my hair fell out. Then I woke up this morning, I still had these sides. I was really amused about that.
I got news for you.
What?
Over the years, I remember the Big Red Afro. See, I was around for the end of the Big Red Afro. I was there. I got firsthand memories of that.
That's a long time ago. Did you see the full moon, by the way? It was beautiful. It was
stunning.
Didn't. I didn't
look outside. What's wrong with me?
Oh, it was wonderful. Just wonderful. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Eagles edge the Bills, Michigan tops Ohio State, and Alabama to make a mess of the college football playoff. But we begin today with the Carolina Panthers firing their head coach, Frank Reich, after the Panthers lost to Tennessee yesterday and slid to 1-10 on the year. That's the worst record in the NFL. Chris Tabor becomes Carolina's sixth head coach, including interim, since 2018, which is less than six seasons. Wilbon, do you have confidence that Carolina owner David Tepper knows what he's doing?
Confidence that he knows what he's doing? I have confidence that he has no idea what he's doing. I mean, the club drafted a quarterback with the overall number one pick, a young quarterback who they wanted to be tutored by an old quarterback whisperer, a guy who had some success with that, Frank Reich, who I've been following since he was a young quarterback, really in college at Maryland. And so you bring him in and you give him less than a full season? Okay, Bryce Young hasn't lit it up yet. He doesn't look as good as C.J. Stroud. He doesn't. But it doesn't mean you get rid of yet another coach. What are we talking about? Tony, there's every indication that Tepper is clueless about what he's doing when it comes to head coaches in that franchise.
Love to disagree with you. Can't possibly disagree with you on this. It's a ludicrous firing. I think David Tepper may be the worst owner in the NFL, and that is really going some. He just likes to fire people. He hires people, he fires people like it's some sort of whimsy for him. He inherited Ron Rivera. He fired Ron Rivera. He hired Matt Rhule. He fired Matt Rhule. He hired Frank Reich. He fired Matt Reich. Somewhere in between some of those things, he traded Christian McCaffrey for a bowl of porridge. It was his decision to trade up with the Bears to get the number one pick. It was his inclination to get the kid from Alabama, Bryce Young. Is it Frank Reich's fault that C.J. Stroud's better at the moment? No, of course it's not Frank Reich's fault. But I'll say this, and I know you're friends with Reich because you covered him at Maryland.
Yes.
You covered him after covered Boomer.
Known him his whole adult life. Yep.
I don't think that he will ever be a head coach in the NFL again. I don't, Mike. He had great success as an assistant with Carson Wentz at Philadelphia, but he had no success in Indianapolis with Carson Wentz or with Phillip Rivers or with Matt Ryan. He's had no success with Bryce Young. It just looks to me, and you get fired twice in a row in mid-season.
Yeah.
It looks bad. Now, having said that, he's had the misfortune of working for two of the biggest bozo owners in the league.
Nut jobs,
Jimmy Irsay.
At least one.
And David
Jimmy
Tepper.
Jimmy Irsay. He's lucky we weren't working last week when he decided that he's getting picked on because he's a white billionaire. He's lucky we weren't working.
I don't know. Mike, I'm sure somebody will take David Tepper's money. I'm sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no security there. He's a knee-jerk owner. There's no security.
None.
There's no plan.
Reason there either, Tony. Let's move from the bottom of the NFL to the top. The Eagles are 10-1 after beating the Bills in overtime last night. Jalen Hurts ran it in from 12 yards out for the winning score. Overall, he had two touchdowns running, three passing. Josh Allen also played really well. He did this time, but his team fell to 6-6 anyway. Tone, what does the result say about each one of them?
So it was a terrific game. I mean,
it was a great game
to watch. As you said, Josh Allen was wonderful. Was it 339? 339 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and he ran one in. Mike, whenever they had a tough third down, he ran the ball.
He was, yeah.
He had 81 yards running on 9 carries. And he led them to the comeback touchdown in the fourth quarter. And as good as he was, Jalen Hurts was better. Jalen Hurts had a hand in all 5 touchdowns. When he came down the field in the overtime, boom, 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 just let him right down the field and then ran it in himself. He is an obvious and natural leader. You know that last year I said he should have been the MVP, wasn't voted MVP. I would make him the MVP right now this year. That's how good they've been. How do I look at Buffalo now? I think they're in trouble. I think they needed to win this game. When you go, this is the game that a lot of people in September might have said would be a Super Bowl preview. I don't even know that they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're at Kansas City next, then home Dallas.
Tough schedule.
They could easily be 6-8, and they could be done, right?
I'm glad you took care of Buffalo, because Buffalo's irrelevant. They just are. They're another team in another year that's inadequate. I mean, as great as Josh Allen is, he got in this predicament because he turns the ball over all the time.
They got a wide receiver
who is stereotypically a wide receiver, who's always in the middle of drama. Diggs, as great as he is. Local guy for us, Tony, here from the DMV.
That's right.
I root for him, but it's like enough mouth, enough Twitter account. So, Buffalo, get off the stage. You're off the stage. Now, Philadelphia, which has a coach whose arrogance seems to be embraced by his team. It doesn't undermine the team at all. And Sirianni is certainly that. Let's get that straight. Terrific coach, also seemingly full of himself and all that it is that he believes in, that he does. They got this quarterback who's a wonderful leader, Tony, and Hurts, who's unflappable. How about when the field goal goes in, the ball goes through, and Hurts is just like, yeah, right. I love that, Tony. He's not up celebrating. He's not up dancing. He's not doing anything. They got special teams and a kicker who seems to come through in the clutch. They got a defense. Yes. Obviously, they got a guy like Jason Kelce, who even on a night where he makes 2 critical errors late in the game with jumping, you know, illegal procedure penalties, still has a certain wherewithal and poise about himself. Philadelphia's got everything. That was a great win for them last night.
It is nice to have a kicker who can kick a tying field goal from 59 yards
out. In the rain.
With all the pressure on.
In the rain.
They've had 2 wonderful wins in a row. Kansas City and Buffalo. That's a high-quality resume. And they get San Francisco this week. Somebody needs to tell me how come they're all in Philadelphia. How come they get these games all at home? They're a very good team. Very solid team. Let's turn to college football. Wilbon, who had the most remarkable win over the weekend? Was it Michigan over Ohio State without Jim Harbaugh?
No. Nope.
3rd straight over Ohio State, by the way. Was it Alabama over Auburn on a last-second 4th and goal from the 31?
Yep.
Or was it Washington over Washington State on a last-second field goal after going on 4th down from their own 29?
Ooh, Washington State almost lost that, and you would have been hearing from me. Because I told you about 6 weeks ago Washington was going to lose. Well,
Washington almost lost it.
They have Washington. Washington almost lost it. Washington probably should have lost it. And I told you weeks ago Washington would lose and lost. So,
well,
Tony.
They haven't.
But Alabama is the answer. And then, look, I didn't watch any of the Alabama game because I was stressed out over my own bizarre 45-43 game with Northwestern. So I wasn't turning the channel. I wasn't going to 3 TVs wide. But you texted me something about 4th and goal from the 31 or something. And I was like, what
31.
Is he talking about? I thought you got the detail wrong. I thought you meant 4th and goal from the 1. And then when I see the clip
31.
Later, it's from the 30. It's Alabama. It's Alabama because they still are in position to make everything out of this with coming week with this game for the SEC championship. I can't wait to see that, Tony. And Jordan Hare, to win like that at Jordan Hare is huge.
Let me get into the details of this. This is the last play of the game for Alabama. They must score a touchdown, and they are 4th and goal, not from the 10, not inside the 10, from the 31.
No.
Auburn drops 8 back in coverage and has 3 rush, except they don't rush, Mike. They play patty cake with the offensive linemen. They never cross the line of scrimmage. This is insane. You have to chase the Alabama kid, make him either hurry the throw or cross the line where he can't throw. Now he's got to run 31. He's not getting in running 31. No. Much better chance passing 31. To me, this is a fireable offense on the part of a defensive coordinator and maybe a head coach. You let that kid stand back there and pick out a target. That's unconscionable. Michigan, very impressive. Very impressive. Ryan Day looks sort of lost on the sideline there. But I would ask you this. Harbaugh, they're now 6-0 without Harbaugh. They're paying Harbaugh's full salary this year. And I will confess to you that I watched more of the Florida State-Florida game than the Washington-Washington State game. And I think Florida State was devalued by the fact that Louisville lost. So if they beat a two-loss Louisville team in the ACC championship,
through no fault of their own. Tony, Ohio State, the seat is going to get hot for Ryan Day. I'm not sure that's deserved.
I agree.
I know it's three straight. I know that, by the way, with Harbaugh, you know what? They'll figure out what they can do and 12 next year because he won't be there. He'll be in the NFL somewhere. Somewhere.
Not
NFL
sure.
Tone.
Not
He's
sure.
Gone.
Not sure.
Gone.
Let's take a break. Coming up, the Broncos and Colts, they're both 6-5. Which team is more of a surprise?
And should the Steelers be celebrating an offensive performance that only netted them 16 points?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Bullet, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to find out what's lighting up the little people in mail time. I'll get the first one here.
Mail time!
Take it out of the mailbox. Take two at a time. Which 6-5 team is more of a surprise, the Broncos or the Colts?
The Broncos. And I don't even want to hear this. What did I text you again for the third straight week? What tell people?
Let
what?
Russ cook.
That's right.
That's what you texted.
That's
me.
Right. And so, okay. Come on now. All last season, people like you said Russ was washed up and done.
I did.
That he wouldn't do squad douche. He has come back.
That's right.
He doesn't have to throw for 300 yards a game. I'm not saying he's as good as he was when he went to the Super Bowl in 13 or 14 or whenever those two Super Bowls are. I'm not saying he's that good. He's only throwing about 180 yards a game. But he is leading that team. If you want to talk about game manager, he and Sean Payton have found simpatico. No one had this. They were 0-4 and down 28-7 at Soldier Field to the Bears. I know because I was sitting there. And they have resurrected themselves from that point. They're a threat to make the playoffs, and no one had it. Let Russ cook.
Okay. So I am amazed by the Colts in this regard. They were 4-12-1 last year. They knew they had no quarterback, so they drafted Anthony Richardson in the first round. He's out for the whole year. And they got Gardner Minshew in there and they're winning games. But if you ask me which team is more of a surprise, it is Denver.
Yes.
Denver started out 0-3 and then 1-5. They gave up 70 points to one team at one point.
Dolphins.
People were justifiably ridiculing Sean Payton, and I was one of them, because of the comments that he made about the coach last year when he was doing a worse job. Let me get the guy's name. Why don't I ever get his name right?
Hackett.
It doesn't really matter.
Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett. And he was doing a worse job.
Yeah.
And I thought that Russell Wilson, over the course of a year plus, looked like a comic figure. Well, the cream rises to the top. Sean Payton's changed everything there and done a great job. And Russell Wilson, though he no longer throws deep, looks very good. And I will say a sentence that I never imagined saying, which is, I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. It'd be a great story.
Never mind.
Let Russ cook, all you haters out there.
Should we focus on the Steelers' offense amassing 421 yards or just 16 points?
Neither. Focus on the Steelers winning. The Steelers have won 7 games. I think they're a game and a half behind Baltimore because Baltimore has a bye coming up in that division. But, you know, those games are tough. I mean, there's no presumptive winner when you start dealing with the Steelers and Ravens and they have to play each other. I know Cincinnati's not going to be much without Joe Burrow.
No.
And Cleveland's a factor. So there's a three-horse race. Really is three-horse with that defense.
No.
But, Tony,
they have no
the Steelers
offense.
Win. Mike Tomlin has them winning these games. People talk about resilience. They don't even know what it is. This team is. They play the game. They don't need to pay attention to all these ninth-level stats. They play the football game, and they win it, and they come out ahead. And if they want to do that by a field goal or two, they're fine in that circumstance, and that comfort level can serve you well in the cold in December and January. Good for the Steelers.
So I'm going to answer the question definitively, and you need to concern yourself with the 16 points because the last time I looked, Mike, they don't put total yards up on the scoreboard. They could
points.
Put points up.
Yeah.
421 yards is nice. It's the first time all year I think the Steelers have outgained the opposition. Kenny Pickett, for the first time in a long time, looked pretty good. What was it, 280-something yards?
Won the game.
But they only scored one touchdown, Mike. So they only got 16 points. They've been averaging 16 points going into this game, so they got no better. It may turn out that firing Matt Canada was the best thing that ever happened to their offense, and they'll take off from here. It may. But you can't focus on the yards. You got to focus on the points, because how many teams are you going to be able to beat by scoring 16 points? And the answer is not many.
On the wins.
Not many.
They keep winning.
Enough female. Let's take one last break. But still to come, Bill Belichick and the Patriots sink even lower.
Ooh, sink to stink. And LSU plays on again without Angel Reese.
Are we ever going to get clarity on that?
No.
Is somebody going to report that out?
No. Mm-mm.
That is the wildest story in sports.
Well, there's some other stuff that there needs to be clarity on, but nobody's reaching and delving into that either. You know what I'm talking.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 52nd birthday, Pudge Rodriguez. Pudge was a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2017 after being a 14-time All-Star, a 13-time Gold Glove at catcher, and a 7-time Silver Slugger. He was the American League MVP in 1999 with Texas and a World Series champion in 2003 with the Marlins. Pudge was with the Nationals at the end of his career, and he caught Steven Strasburg's Major League debut in 2010 when Strasburg struck out 14 Pirates. According to a Washington Post story, and I'm quoting here, pitching coach Steve McCaddy, wanting to minimize the frenzy for Strasburg, instructed him to throw what Rodriguez called no matter what. Aside from his very first pitch, Rodriguez wanted a curveball, Strasburg didn't shake him off once, unquote. Wow.
Tony, you know what? We can't know enough about Josh Gibson. But it's possible that Pudge is on that very short list of greatest catchers of all time. Berra and Campanella, however you want to take them, bench, and then Pudge and Pudge. Carlton Fisk and Pudge Rodriguez, they're way, way up. Pudge wasn't a DH. He didn't play first base. He caught like 2,400 games, Pudge Rodriguez. Amazing. Amazing player.
As long as you understand that bench is one. As long as you understand that, ahead of Campanella and Yogi? He's one.
Wow.
He's one.
Wow.
Happy anniversary, Washington Commanders. On this day 57 years ago, or two names ago, the Washington franchise beat the New York Football Giants 72-41, setting the record for total points in one game, 113, that still stands. The 72 by Washington also stands as the most points by one team in a regular season game. The game was played before the introduction of nets behind the goalpost, causing the loss of 14 footballs going into the stands. 13 of the footballs were lost after extra points. One was lost by Brig Owens of Washington, who threw the ball into the stands after a 70-yard interception return for a touchdown. Just as an aside, both Washington and the Giants are dreadful this season, and they wouldn't score 113 points in five games.
If you replace those beautiful burgundy and gold uniforms with those stupid black ones that are just meant to pander to 15-year-olds, then you're an idiot marketing group. You're idiots. Now, we knew four people fairly well in that game, Tony. Sonny Jurgensen, right. Bobby right. Mitchell, Brig Owens, and the great Sam Huff. My God, yep. Are those great players or what? Sonny, the only thing. One with us now. I've known all of them all our careers.
Happy trails to several college football coaches. Indiana fired Tom Allen. Houston fired the fabulously profane Dana Holgorsen. Louisiana Monroe fired her old friend Terry Bowden. UTEP fired Dana Dimmel. And New Mexico fired Danny Gonzalez. Allen and Holgorsen are going to get rich. Indiana owes Allen a buyout of $20.8 million. Allen was 9-26 since 2020. Holgorsen was 31-28 in 5 years at Houston, but 4-8 this year, Houston's first in the Big 12. Holgorsen's buyout is $14.8 million. Bigger news may be the hiring of Mike Elko by Texas A&M. Elko was a very impressive 16-9 at Duke in 2 years. His tie to A&M is that he was defensive coordinator there from 2018 to 2021, working for the newly fired and very rich Jimbo Fisher.
That's all very nice. I'm going back to uniforms. Everybody now in every professional sport has to have a black uniform. You got beautiful uniforms like with the burgundy and gold. I'm not from Washington, but I've watched them. Seriously, the marketing people, you should all be called in. I would call you in and say, you're fired. Leave your playbooks, get out. You replace these beautiful things with that junk, you're fired.
When did you become Coco Chanel?
Well,
Become the arbiter of fashion?
Black
Seriously,
uniform.
What are you
this is
talking
lazy.
About?
It's just lazy
One
and
error.
Stupid and pandering.
One error. The Eagles played at Kansas City last week, not in Philly. I got that wrong.
They
were at home yesterday. They are at home next week against the Niners.
Big game.
My bad on that.
Big game.
Let's go
next
to the
week.
Big finish.
Let's do it.
Angel Reese did not make LSU's trip to the Cayman Islands. What does this mean?
We have the drama of this every day, but they are 4-0 overall without it this season. I'm just saying. The Patriots lost to the G-Men 10-7. What does that mean?
Okay, these are two of the worst teams in football. They're not the worst because Carolina is the worst. They're close to the worst. 10-7 is an Iowa score. That's the under with Iowa. It's so bad. Draymond Green says he has no regrets about putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold. Your thoughts?
I mean, he said this in a tweet even before that, before this first exposure to media people. You know what make him change? A 30-game suspension and the loss from that. See, that'll get you to think about changing if the league wants to do that. The league is scared to do that. Alan Shipnuck says Phil has been telling people John Rahm is going to join Liv. You believe that?
Phil denies ever saying that. Somebody said to me that he's been offered $600 million.
Wow.
Really? Man. Last one, Bears-Vikings tonight. Who you got in this one?
I'll take the draft pick, which means the Vikings are at home. And that's a lot of money. You know, Rahm is my neighbor. Maybe I could just borrow some sugar or something.
Yeah, ask for a cup of sugar and $300 million.
Yeah.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Happy birthday, Alan Bubis. Enjoy Sage Valley.
I'm Mike Wilbon, same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's...
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.